Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. To God be the glory. We thank God for the day He has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Let us pray before we go into the Word of God tonight. Heavenly Father, in your Son Jesus' name, we thank you for allowing us to see God in the name of Jesus another day. Now, God, minister to us through your Word. You said heaven and earth will pass away, but your Word will be here forever. You're watching over your Word to perform it. So as we get into the Word of God tonight, speak to us through revelation, through your Logos Word, hallelujah, because it will not come back empty. So God, I thank you. In the beginning was the Word, and we're about to see the Word. In Jesus' name, bind up anything that's not of you, God, and loose your people in their minds, their thoughts, their spirits, and their imagination. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Word Wednesday. Word Wednesday. For God be the glory. We thank God for you watching. Thank God for you assembled in the name of Jesus. We thank God, amen, for Word Wednesday. Let's get right into it tonight. Romans chapter number three. To God be the glory. My spirit was so stirred. I'm sharing with my wife. My spirit was so stirred up from prayer last night as we looked at the book of Hebrews chapter 4, where it said the people were an example to us who believe today, how through their lack of faith and their unbelief, they did not enter into the rest of God. Remember, Caleb and Joshua had another spirit, but those that did not believe God did not get into the promised land. And that's what that text was simply saying, is that Hebrews was saying, you and I today of the new covenant, we come boldly to prayer. And when we come boldly to prayer, anything we're lacking in life, anything we're missing, because that's what I'm going to share tonight. Sometimes we have, and my wife talked about it yesterday, we have this burden. And he came to lift the burdens. He came to remove the yokes.
Yeah.
He came to destroy the weights that get us down. Many of us have been through a lot in life, especially in the seasons which we're living. Maybe divorce, maybe bankrupt, maybe dealing with sickness and illness, maybe a betrayal. Whatever the weight or the offense may have been, prayer is the answer.
Amen.
And I thank God that even as I look back over my life and I knew the importance of prayer way back when, my wife and I, and we're going to get into it, but my wife and I used to have a cell group meeting out of our home. And then we came from a big church and they narrowed it down to a home Bible study or a home meeting. We used to pray, get into the Word of God, get great understanding. The Word says, with all your getting and understanding, and we volunteered at our home. We became students and teachers of the Word of God. And I'll never forget those years because even in those years, not like today, but I'll never forget how, and this is why I'm going to God, I think it's pressing me to share what I'm going to share about it tonight. And it's simply this. The just shall live by faith.
Amen.
It sounds like it sounds sometimes in the new covenant, the just or the justified. And I'm going to spend a lot of time on justification. Leave that by intent. Amen. Because I don't want to intellectualize it. I don't want to have a theological debate. I just want to unpack it like you told me to unpack.
Amen.
And I'm going to beat myself when I begin to do that as we look at Romans chapter number 3. But as I was saying, we had a circle meeting. We met, we prayed, and I've seen fruit. But even in those early years, sometimes I share a testimony how coming from the world within the church, amen, there was a lot of baggage, a lot of issues, a lot of luggage that I brought to the things of God with me. And because of that, the enemies were constantly and often playing with my mind. Even though 2 Corinthians 5:17 was introduced to me early, if any man be in Christ, they are new. The old has gone away. Behold, everything has become new. We got to start living that. We got to start believing that. That's why this is a new creation church. God did not live that. We believed it. And we start believing that we are new. Even though we're still doing some old stuff. Even though we're still caught up with some traditions or some ways or some traits that we have developed over the course of our life. But we believe the word that said through Paul to the church of Corinth, if you're in Christ, is no longer high for Christ in me, so I'm a world of glory. So we begin to live and and believe, separately and follow the thing that we might be Christ as a new creature, and now we are justified by faith through faith. Are we justified? And I'm going to read this because I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, and I'm going to say some of those points that I want to make right now as we read the text. But I'm going to get into the Word of God first, and then we're going to elaborate on some of the meaning. Romans chapter 3, verse number 19. Romans 3, verse number 19. Now, we have to understand that Paul is writing to the church of Rome. There is no one better qualified than the Apostle Paul to write about righteousness, sanctification, justification, sin, as it relates to the new covenant believer. Paul was sent to the Gentile for good reason. Paul said in one of his epistles, he said, I was circumcised on the eighth day. My father was a Pharisee. My grandfather was a Pharisee. I became a Pharisee. I was an expert in the law, and I was zealous pertaining to the things of the law. Remember in Acts chapter 9, he got letters from Roman authorities that was higher than he, to get letters to go and arrest Christians, amen, to put him in jail who believed or who was part of the way. Paul was a law enforcement officer. Paul was a high official in the church in Rome, in the government of Rome, and Paul was an expert in the law. That's why when he breaks it down in Romans chapter 3, we're going to see him giving a real theological, intellectual witness and account of why we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. We are justified through grace. We are saved through grace. We are in right standing with God through grace. And the reason God has been teaching is, glory be to God, is because I believe some people are, even though the Bible says there's no condemnation, I believe the enemy sometimes gets the upper hand on us. Especially when we know that things are still caught up in. Amen to God. And right now, we're going to get free tonight. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 3, verse number 19. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all upon them that believe, for there is no difference, male, female, Greek, Jew, doesn't matter. Verse number 23, I'm gonna look at that in detail tonight a little bit. For all have sinned, come with God, and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, declaring his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I'm not going to read all of it, but I want to just keep on a little further. To declare at the sake of this time his righteousness, that he might be just and justify him who believes in Jesus. Where is the boast in Paul, right? Because there are many who boast about keeping it all together or being a person of the law and keeping the law. Where is the boast that he said? It is excluded. By what law or by what works? No, but by the law of faith. He goes on to say in verse number 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith. Say that with me. Say justified by faith. One more time. Justified by faith. Amen. Without deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. I'm going to try to explain all of that in a nutshell. But I want to look at verse number 23 to start. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, oftentimes we say, and we're going to look at some scriptures that verify what we're talking about, oftentimes we say, Jesus died for our sins. And that is true. But why did Jesus die for our sins? Amen, somebody. Through the writings of Paul, through the writings of the church of Rome, and he's writing to many Jews here, he's trying to say that through circumcision, because as they went from Judaism over to Christianity, as the Gentiles became Christians, there were certain Jews trying to put mandates and regulations on them that they have to do certain things, live a certain way, to keep certain regulations in order to become Christians. And Paul was simply writing and saying, not so. And simply through faith of believing and now in right standing with God. Amen to God. It's not our work. And that's the danger of legalism and trying to keep the law. Because the Ten Commandments was given to you and I to show us how much we need God. Come on. It wasn't about to give us this idea that we can live up to that standard. And there are far too many believers that hear the preach word about clean fornication, that hear the preach word of coming higher than the standard of living, that hear the preach word that there are certain things you need to lay down and put down. But I thank God for grace. I thank God for grace because even a year out of being saved, me and my wife, I was in the farmhouse, but guess what? I was still turning up. I was still part of it. Amen to God. Salvation, becoming a disciple. He said, go make disciples of all men. That's a process. Amen to God. Transformation is a process. Regeneration is a process. And there are far too many outgoing believers living under condemnation for no reason at all. That's why God will be dealing with this subject tonight. The just or the justified shall live by faith. Faith is the starting point. And if you look at the church and Galatians and Paul writes to them, so apostles came in after Paul taught them, guess what? You are now justified by simply believing in Jesus. And some other people came and said, no, you got to do works. And Paul comes and said, wait a minute, time out. How did you get saved? Through simply believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe in my heart and I confess in my mouth, I'm part of the form of sin. And we believe in our heart and confess in our mouth that Jesus, the Son of God, we shall be saved. Everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we didn't do any work to that. We didn't do any work to obtain salvation. And he's simply saying, guess what? After you are saved, let God do a work. Come on, somebody. Philippians 1:16, write that down. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. I'm not going to go there tonight. I'm just going to pray and I'm just going to quote Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6 says this. He who has begun a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Who's going to complete the work? Jesus. Amen. I'm so glad that there's such a struggle that I don't fight anymore. Come on. Even when I'm falling short, because he says in verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sometimes that scripture is misinterpreted, because sometimes we say all have sinned, meaning past tense, and come short of the glory of God, meaning past tense. What he is saying is you read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, all the way to chapter number 8. What Paul is simply saying is God has a standard that none of us can reach. My God. It doesn't mean that we stop striving for it. It doesn't mean that we stop going after it. It doesn't mean that we don't have a desire to get better. But when he says all that sin is falling short of the glory of God, we got to recognize that we are weak in certain areas. There are some areas in our life that we will fall short, but the enemy comes in, that's why he calls him the accuser of the brother. There are far too many of us, when we make a mistake, the enemy gets in our head and he stays there, or he tries to stay there. And we got to get a picture word, we got to get the word of God, because if you watch something, you shouldn't watch. If you've done something, you shouldn't have done. If you throw a big old rope, you shouldn't be happy with it. If you're still involved in something, you shouldn't be involved in it. Now the enemy, through an open door that we continually open, come on, try to play with our mind that we are now not the righteousness of God. But this is a subtle deal. This is a subtle deal. This is not what we have to fight for or work for. Amen. And some people, as Jesus, can't get in terms of his ministry, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, knew better that tradition will be hard to break. If you go back to read Leviticus chapter 16, about John the Fourth, Jewish holiday, I know we're not Jewish, but it's the day of atonement. In the time where Aaron, son of God's children, they came into the Holy Temple, and they tried to do the priestly duty, and God struck them down, and God gave Moses instructions to Aaron that the son of God got dressed. Bring in two goats, bring in a bull, bring in 30 animals, and sacrifice them to me once a year, but you must do it a certain way. Amen? And just to say, through the land of God, which is where the sin of the work of Jesus Christ, we no longer have to fall under the law. But it's amazing how sometimes the enemy still tries to get us to be performance-based and it's about work and not about faith. That's why we pray to teach, we teach stories about faith, because everything is in faith. My God. Not just acquiring houses and businesses and successful marriages and getting stuff in the world that's tangible, but God is more importantly worrying about our spiritual growth. Amen? And we can have these lessons tonight because some of you are going to have an opportunity to witness to your family, to witness to your core. You know, like I was talking the other day, and I was saying that I was looking around my blessed relatives, my biological family. I see so many who are saved. Look, thank God. And it may be from when I was younger, but it's very powerful. I gave my life to Christ. Some gave their life to Christ before me, but there was a good remnant of my family that wasn't in church, that wasn't saved. And I'll take some credit, but they saw my life. Amen to God. They saw me come out of the club. They saw me say I'm not too saved. Amen. Then they never knew that you before you got saved. And those are the ones that see an outward change, and those are the ones that have a conversation with you one day, and just when they go through it, they get a low moment or a low point in life, and they don't say, I don't remember what you was in these clubs with me. I don't remember what you was just a crazy fight that everybody had that gave you a heart. I don't remember what you were for the world. Come on, I got an amen to something. That's from you to describe. That's how we speak. Amen to God. And God is saying, and the enemy tries to convince you and I, because we talk about the judge of this by faith, he tries to convince us that we're not progressing, that we're not advancing, that we're not increasing in certain areas. But you got to realize, you got to see yourself, you got to put yourself in the mirror, and you got to say, glory be to God, I know I can change. I know I can make you. I think different, I act different, I feel different, I want different cultures, I desire different, my thinking is different, my understanding is different, my ways are changing, I'm thinking, I'm new, my behavior is different, so even though I may be still in some stuff, I make some progress. Glory to God. I still may not have arrived to where I want to be, but the church I live by faith, I've already accepted that as a lifestyle. So now I do sin and fall short of the glory of God. I dust myself off. I get myself back up. I get back in church. I get back in my word. I ask somebody to pray for me. Come on. I ask somebody to lift me up and hold me accountable. I ask somebody to pray for me when I can't pray for myself. Because I realize that I'm all in this because of her.
Amen.
It's that we were doing our own thing, acting our own way, believing in the head how we want to, and guess what? The Bible says we can't come to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or God unless He draws us. My God. And Paul is saying to us tonight through Romans, you are justified through your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You know, my wife and I, there was an incident in Elizabeth, and we went protesting through the street, and Al Sharpton came up with this phrase, no justice, no peace. Y'all heard that? No justice, no peace. And we look out there, and we see it's just out and out in our face of time. You'll be amazed at 2018, sometimes the injustices that we see out there. Not just talk about racism, not just talk about bigotry, but there's injustice all over. Amen? And sometimes when we say no justice, no peace, we were quoting, and we don't get no justice, we don't get no peace. And the guy who had the megaphone, he was quoting wrong. If we don't get no justice, we don't get no peace. And then he said, reformation. If we don't get no justice, they don't get no peace. And I'm like, we're going to keep no justice, make no more possible, because we're not even justice. Amen. The Bible showed me, as I'm teaching this lesson, he said, son, that thing ain't right for a process. But he's trying to have a point that if we don't feel justified, we're not at rest. If we don't feel as though we're really cleansed, we're really washed, we're really have no hope, that's why the day is coming. Jesus is our substitute. He took the iniquity of us all. He took the transgressions of us all upon Him on the cross. And until we absolutely truly believe that, there's certain burden and sin and weight that we carry that we no longer should carry. That's why I say things out of the sin and the weight that so easily get us off track. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul writes so much. And you see, we're not going to go over it tonight, but write the scriptures down as we talk about it. I say, God, this is not how I know the law, but you tell me to teach on justification. Amen? And I'm going to try to do it the best way I can. To God be glory. The Holy Spirit is teaching me, pushing me in this direction to give us a clear understanding of justification. See, sanctification, what I just alluded to a few times about laying down sin and being holy. Sanctification, yes, it comes, but it comes in time, and you continue to still work on us. That's why the Bible says, work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. So every time I had an ordinance, all right. Every time I sinned and maybe I used profanity when I shouldn't. Every time I lost my temper and tried to still say, be slow to answer, be slow to speak, be quick to listen. Every time I did that and I felt bad about it, I'm not going to say that. Come on. I'm going to try to pick myself up and next time you test my patience, be slow to answer, be slow to speak, be quick to listen. He gives us another chance. Amen. So if you're one that flies off the handle, God can keep touching you in that area until you get taken off. Come on. Because some of us, most of us, we are one. More of us, yes, we got to say that we make an honor roll. More of us, sin or a form of sin is not a stronghold, nor is it something that we struggle with. But is there anyone who still struggles with personality or church? Is there anyone who still struggles getting a bad mood, having a negative attitude, invented by it? Is there someone that every now and then you wake up with a wrong walk out of the family? Amen? And that's the stuff God wants us to sometimes look at more than the big sin. Right here, Paul writes to the church of Corinth, and we beautiful. Because it says the corruptible will be made incorruptible. The mortal will become dead, will be mortal. If you keep reading as we go through 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says we're going to be raised, we're going to be sown into the ground, we're going to go into that grave, a natural body, and we're going to come up with a spiritual body. Amen. And so we're going to go down and ascend, or we're going to come up in glory. But I'm going to talk about the just shall live by faith, and I'm reading right now 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep your memory, I preach unto you unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, Paul told you in me how you preach. For I delivered unto you first of that which I also received, how that Christ died, said he died. Christ died of our sins, according to the scripture. And that he was buried, said he was buried. And that he rose, said he rose. I did it on the third day, according to the scripture. So that's clear. Christ died. Christ was buried. He died for our sins. And it says on the third day, he rose again, according to the scripture. Verse number 5. And that he was seated, he was seated. Our God. A seated. Then of his world. So that 13 is directed at 12. After that, he was seated, he was seated. Of our Father's brethren, at once, of whom the greater part of many until this present, but some are falling asleep. He was seen by a lot of people. First as well, now for 5 years. After that, he was seen. Then all of the apostles, glory be to God. Verse number 8, and last of all, he was seen. One more time, say he was seen. Of me, for the apostles, me also, as one born out of due time. For I have the belief of the apostles that I am not need to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am that I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me, Paul said. It was not invented, but I abhorred abundantly more than all the apostles, yet not I. Of the grace of God which was with me. Pastor, why did you be so much? Because sometimes we know about on Sunday, Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus was buried. He was vulnerable, and he raised on the third day of our power and his name. But I get excited when I know that he is dying and claimed by so many that can't back it up. I take a little bit because people talk about me, God.
Jesus, what we said about you, know, they were shut up and all the time. Now, we don't have to wait any longer. Amen. Luke 18:18. Because sometimes, Luke 18:18. Jesus said, even though all the traditions were hard to break for the Jews, like I said, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, God told them to do this every year, annually. Luke 18:18. And Jesus said to them, if you don't believe my words, and if you don't believe on the word that you see me do, and if you don't break a certain mindset, amen to God. And talk like this. We come to God as a sinner. Amen. We get saved. We still got that same nature. Can I get an amen? Now, to be made a disciple is a process. For me to draw from the sinner, the lover, the alcohol, the drugs, and come over here and just be made, you know, thinking different, living different, being different, it's impossible. It's a process. Amen? Some of us are the Jews. Jesus came as Messiah. They still miss him. So many, even today, we have Jews who don't think Messiah has come. But guess what? Jesus and God the Father knew this would be a challenge. That's why, glory to God. He said to us new covenant believers, we should have, that's what we talked about last night, which is the word of faith, that's going to be an example of what to not do. Come on. Make the word of faith mean something that is. There's a certain inclination, yes, that somehow still so real, but we don't have to go there. And the enemy, anytime we go there, the enemy try to get fuel over us, the enemy try to get power over us, the enemy try to keep control over us, because now, through wrong believing that we're not justified, we're not righteous, now we have wrong living, and God is saying, when we really see transformed by the growth of our mind, we start getting victory in every area of life. And when he told me my wife sometimes we talk about laying down drinking, putting down alcohol. The enemy tries to come and say with me, well, some people just drink occasionally, and they ain't never that. Listen, when we share our testimony about that, guess what? We were over there fighting in Jamaica because of the alcohol. There's some people that need that drinking them act a fool, and I was one. Come on, come on.
And we get a little, you know, Pentecostal, we get a little fire, we get a little Baptist, you know, baptism tradition going on. We're charismatic in certain areas. But I've seen in 24 years that I've been saying how sometimes the church has erred, the pastors have erred about it, how we made salvation so sophisticated. We kind of made things so complicated. And sometimes we wonder why the unbelievers sometimes don't want something to do with what, because he said, I'm going to make the gospel so simple that a baby can understand. And sometimes because we're articulate, we can break it down, we are sensitive, we have commentary, and sometimes if we're not careful, we stay up there and we forget that I'm saved through grace. I'm right up to God for what Jesus did. And those are the simple truths that sometimes we don't talk about enough. Amen to God. We sometimes wonder, you know, teach me how to get my house, teach me how to get my business. We're preaching about spreading the gospel, but sometimes we eat some of these vegetables. Amen to God. And we also look at this right here, Luke 18, where here is someone that told he was keeping the law, but he was doing everything right. Luke 18. And the second brother asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why call you good? None is good except one, and that is God. You see how Jesus threw that in there? Ain't nobody coming to God, and you call it be good because maybe you want to suffer. Verse number 20. Thou art the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not lie or give false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Verse number 21. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up until now. Now that's a lot. But anyway, I'm going to keep reading. Verse number 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. He said, if you have earthly money for the treasure that's up in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard that message, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how far shall that the riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for the camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they had heard and said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. I'm going to stop here for something to read a few more verses. Then Peter said, so, we have all in all of you. And he said to them, verily I say unto you, there is no man, glory, I'm being happy, that has left power, or man, or brother, or his wife, or his children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in the present life of this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. I'm going to back up and then I'm going to look at that scripture as it's written. There's a rich young ruler that comes to Jesus and he said, good master, what must I do to get into heaven? And Jesus said, honor your mother, live right, don't lie, don't steal, don't kill. He said, I did all that since I was a little boy. I kept all the commandments. I kept all the law. And Jesus didn't even debate in that, and it wasn't the truth because no one could keep the Ten Commandments. No one. The law was given. Paul said why the law was given. Moses said why the law was given. Now we understand the new covenant believers why the law was given. To show us how much we need God. Amen? And then he said, okay, you're rich. There's one thing that you lack. Give it all up for treasure in heaven. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful, and another section says he went away sad because he was very rich. And then the disciples came in the conversation. They said, Jesus, we're not rich, but what we have we gave over you. And he simply said, you can get to heaven because for man it's like impossible, but for God all things are possible. And because of just our living by faith, because of faith, you don't get to work. This Christian approval does not have faith to believe me that worldly possessions and living the right will not get us to heaven. Because all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We never can be right enough. And then Peter said, once we gave it all up for you, Jesus said, just for Peter, you gave all that up for us, not just in heaven, but what you gave up for me on the earth is coming back to you right now. Big excited church of all that I got here. In other words,
instead of allowing it to preach you now,
You can move in spite of fear. In natural life. The Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what the Lord called us to sell mind. And every time we try to do something for God, here comes the fear. All the way along, God, back in Matthew 16, and I said, do that with God's feet. I mean, Matthew 28. Go be therefore to all the world and preach, making disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, making disciples of all men, and teaching them after them to do the things that I told them to do. I just had an evangelistic message. I had an outreach message. I had a battle with the scriptures while I'm new preaching to get out there and win some souls. But God said, no, first of all, you're going to do this instead of that. You're going to teach that thing right to God. You're going to see why it's so important to go out there and win those. Because they don't want to be losing tonight. We don't want to be losing God. We don't want to be losing what we're talking about. Pastor, this is remedial. Pastor, I don't know what we're talking about. But sometimes God is taking me down to the rest of the year. You just need a first quarter. I was happy to see it again. I was being saved 24 years. I was happy to study the word of God. I pray every word as human beings or even animals and goats. You know, just simply.
They knew the law, they heard it.
being convicted in their own conscience without one by one, beginning at the oldest, even to the youngest. And Jesus is left alone as the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had it to himself, he saw none but the woman. And he said to her, "Woman, where are those your accusers? Has no man forgiven you?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Please see the order of things. The compassion came for the correction. It says his love causes us to repent. The compassion came before the correction. And sometimes those of us that preach a great message, somewhat of our preaching in the area of grace, people think we live in a green light to sin. It's not so, it's Bible. It's biblical. Grace is biblical. Amen. It said that in their own conscience, knowing that they're sinners, knowing that they're just as guilty as her, knowing that they did something foul, maybe adultery, maybe something else, it said they realized that it's about to be a hell of a lot coming down from every direction. Because everybody around this circle trying to cure her should be hit with a stone. And it said that from the oldest to the youngest, because of their conscience, not their heart, but their thoughts, their thinking, it didn't even say heart, but they just knew they were doing it. It said, "Walk with one by one." And when I'm going to just tell you about faith, in this moment, he said, "This is what I can do." And when Paul says there's no condemnation unto those of us who are in Christ, he means that we have never been there. And don't let the enemy deceive you. Amen to God. Because there's going to be times in your walk, I don't care if you've been in 20 years, I don't care if you've been in 50 years, I don't care if you've been in 100 years, there's going to be times, there'll be some times in your walk where you're going to need to repent about something. Come on, God. And sometimes we don't talk about it enough, the spirit of forgiveness. But the reason, and we say it in the church a lot, and I'm done, the Lord's Prayer. Have you ever wondered? Sometimes when we go to prayer, guess what? Because sometimes we have shame and guilt and envy that's with our mind, sometimes when we go to our prayer closet, some of our first prayer to God is to give us a certain sin. Because the enemy has gotten us in our head. And he gave us a lot of prayer called the Lord's Prayer, where, "Lord, forgive us of our sin, and help us to forgive those who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation." That's another part of the prayer. But what's the first part of the prayer? "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it already been established in heaven. Give us something to eat today. Come on, we ain't been able to sin yet." And in all that is present in the Lord's Prayer, because he's saying, yes, gentlemen, your sin is important, but there are more important things. Recognize your God, who forgives you all the time, who forgives you even when you have a current mistake. Amen? So if the judge shall live by faith, and we are the judge, and we're going to live by faith. If you need to repent, repent. If you need forgiveness, forgive yourself. And I think I'll have shared this, and I'm going to wrap up, because my first years of being a believer, man, the devil played with my mind after many a year. Because I did some things that were not proper and not well. And I even talked about my childhood friend the other day. He said, "Yeah, he was your wife, what we used to do, how we used to act, and what we used to be involved in." And he kind of reminded me of, "Yeah, that's the old family." Amen?
And I told God that I was preaching, that I was who I was, and I am who I am. And maybe you're supposed to have a few times on yourself. You cannot hold to that person like to be. And you have somebody. So if we wrap up, the judge or justify, we need you live by faith. Amen. To God, because if anyone that needs prayer tonight, God flows a little differently tonight, but if you need prayer, we want to pray to God for your glory. We thank God for word. We thank God for prayer Tuesday. I told my wife, Hebrews just blessed me. I woke up happy knowing that Hebrews let me come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy in my time of need. And say that glory be to God, we have a high priest that knows our struggle. We have Jesus who is up there, who knows what we're facing, what we're struggling, what we're fighting. He knows the enemies that we have. He knows the battles that we face. He knows everything that we struggle with. And it says that he is not detached from where we are. And it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. And as you pray tonight, you are on this altar. And I believe Jesus met you when you stepped on this altar. He's with you when you need him. You go back to him with your home. And he's afraid that you can lead us in the world. But he says, come to my altar. All of you who are weary, burdened, and come to me and I will give you rest. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you for these, your worship service. I thank you, glory to God, wherever they are, whatever season they are in. God, I believe that your spirit is right there with them. Now, Lord, as they found out tonight, and they already knew that they are justified, they are sanctified, they are righteous through you, through right obedience, that you died for their sins. God, in the name of Jesus, fire every attack of the enemy, fire every attack of every demon, fire every church or every community in the name of Jesus. Those that don't want to see, those that don't want to get the victory, those that don't want to stand or the outbreak,
you
your life. You don't have fruit. You don't have to be a fruit tree. And he looked at him and said, Mama, I love you. Mama, I'm proud of you. Mama, I'm glad you're born to me. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And what a great mother. He's got to go. Just free to eat. Oh, thank you, God. You want to go. Teach you what you got. Oh, okay. Y'all want to use this job. Y'all want to give you a final back. Y'all want to give you a keep it together. Oh, I'm sending you now. I'm sending you strong. I'm sending you strong. I'm going to give you up. He don't need to die in our heart. He's going to give you things that I'm going to want. He's going to give you people that I'm going to want in my life. The right way on my mind. In the name of Jesus, you're a good person. You're a good person. You have a son of Jesus. You're not a great person. You're not a great person. They are fighting for God already. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We know the Lord that you have in your heart. In the devil and in the mind. He's going to destroy your system. But you are here. I'm still here. You are the great expert. You are the great expert. You are the happy. You are the prosperous. You are the ministry. You are the divine young man. You are the divine young man.
I'm a hard driver, and this world is going to be on the floor. Amen.